listening to The Naked Talk with Alex, of course.
So hello and welcome to the Naked Talk with Alex Akurji, and I am very, very, very excited to be back here on a new season of the Naked Talk, and I'm coming to you live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of West Africa. And just in case you did not know, my name is Alex Akurji. I'm your host. I'm very excited to be here today on Talk Wednesday of the Naked Talk. Now let me tell you what everyone at people have been buzzing and just been getting a little questions. Alex, we're coming back on air. When is the show happening? People are really, really, really chuffed about today's show. So I'm excited. And just as we're getting ready for the show, I know that my guest, Dr. Kim Grant, all right. She's already here in the studio. And I can't wait to, you know, get into conversation with her. But today on TNE 116, we're going to be finding your voice with my special guest, Dr. Kim Grant Albright. Now, many women and girls are living within social norms that require them to hide, lie, deny, and make excuses. So they bury the pain, stay hush about their problems, and preserve the layers of self-denial, emotional abuse, and sacrifice that hinder them from leaving a peaceful and abundant life. Now to get empowered to change for decades, she has dedicated her life to children, youth, and families, and is the author of the book Hush, highlighting the importance of women finding their voices, building confidence, and self-actualization. Through her own experiences, she encourages women and girls to recognize their value, celebrate life, and connect with a higher purpose and power. So today on TNT, I'm excited to have my guest join us live. Now, don't forget, if you're in wherever you're tuning in around the world, this is a global show. And of course, we welcome you to join the conversation. Now, you can certainly call it. The numbers, call it right on your screen if you're looking at it, 515-605-9804. The chat room. So yeah, the chat room is open today, and of course you can leave your messages. You know, you can contribute to the conversation, you can ask my guest a question, whatever it may be, or you can tweet using hashtag the Naked Talk, and of course your tweet will be read here on the show. So just as we're about, I'm just gonna welcome my hello, Dr. Kim. How are you?
Hi, how are you today?
Hi. Well, let me first start by saying welcome to Naked Talk, and I'm very excited to have you here. Let's start with that. What's the weather like? Because I know that you're all the way in Savannah, right? And so what's the weather like today? How's the weather doing?
The weather was really nice, Alex. It is absolutely beautiful, sunny and shiny.
That's great. Great to know that. Well, it's a little cool here too. So it's a little cool. Beautiful weather today here in Nigeria. So I decided to talk to you. I know you've been doing amazing work, you know, with girls and women and families, right? So let's go right to, you know, to the beginning of this. Now, for those who do not know you, you know, for those who want about you and your work. How would you describe who is Dr. Kim Grant Albright is?
I think what I would say in describing myself is that I am a very compassionate person, very compassionate about the things I believe in. I believe in women. I believe that children should have a very fair, peaceful life and enjoy childhood. And I believe in elderlies and working with people and trying to make their lives better because they have paved the way for us. And I really believe that we owe them that. I believe that Kim Albright has been molded in the hands of God. And I believe that all that I am, I have been purposed to give and to help others have a better quality of life.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I believe so too. And I've had the pleasure to read some of the thoughts that people have about you, right, and your contributions to building, you know, your community, and of course, you know, a lot of the work that you've done. You've impacted people that you've influenced, and so I've been witness, you know, sort of witness to that, and that's why I'm very happy to you this. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to your background and just how for you, how did that affect, you know, who you are now today?
I would think that you know, in my past, even growing up as a child, mom died when I was 20. Well, she was 29 years old. I was only 6. I didn't get to know my father. And so my grandfather, who was tremendous in my life, raised me. And I think he did the best job he could. He had 5 or 6 other children, all of which were girls. And it was very, very hard. But he kept me in private school, Catholic school, and we really dealt with a lot of morality issues during that season in my life. And to, you know, the nuns are very, very caring human beings, and they were very instrumental in working with me and my brother, having known we did not have parents. And so I think that whole piece about giving and loving and serving others and helping people, I really believe it came from that, Alex. I really believe that's the major part of what made me who I am today.
Well, you know, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that I also believe that, you know, how we grew up definitely has some role to play in sort of our outlook on life, how we see things, or even our decision, you know, our do better, right, or to change some of the things that happened as we grow. We know that you are recently wrote a book called Hush. Right, and I was crazy to you know, working with you on that. You know, I don't want to talk about I want to talk about you and this book, what the process was like for you, why you wrote the book Hush, and what is Hush? What is Hush about? What you know, what propelled you to write this book, and what exactly are you trying to achieve with the book?
Loaded question, Alex, but I'd like to begin by saying that book was written in 2019, and it was written during a season in my life that was very traumatic. It was written because of the pain that I'd been experiencing dealing with family issues and working through major issues with my youngest daughter. I really didn't know where else to go. I'd already been to counselors, I'd been to pastors, other leaders, and just could not get any kind of relief or even answer. So I would just sit in the bed at night and just journal and journal and journal. And that helped me to get the pain out. As I began to write, I began to realize that, listen, that's not just it. There were layers and layers of pain buried inside me that was affecting the person that I was. And it was almost as if I was leading and, you know, being in the community and developing schools and ministering to others, yet I was bleeding inside.
Coffee at midnight. It's just your eyes, sit in the silence, taking the quiet. Can I pull you down, lay here, just shut out whatever they say, baby, just for today. Flashback, his hand on my neck, brown eyes, my guy, my love. Mistakes, heartbreak, we say you can't take this love from us.
Midnight by Lois. And yes, if you're joining us, this is still the Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji. And yes, I'm happy to be here on top with my guest, Dr. Kim Grant Olbert, who's joining me live over in Atlanta, Georgia, USA. Hi, Dr. Kim. Welcome back. We went on a little musical break. I think there's a little something there lag with the audio. I'm glad that you're here and that I can hear you. And so just before we went on that little musical break, you were saying something about the book, having written your book, Gosh, in the period and a season in your life, right? And I was trying to say that you had mentioned something about it more as a journal, somehow as an outlet, if I'm correct. Did I get that right? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So just here's what we're going to do. Let's talk a little bit about what the experience has been since writing. So I know that there are a lot of observations that you made, and you get to work with girls. And I know that you started the URM Grace Ashton Christian School for Girls for a long time. And let's talk about why you started the school, experience was, you know, just, you know, working with this, with these girls, and other things that you may have observed as you, you know, as they came to your school.
Alex, I think it was an absolutely wonderful journey. Grace Ashton started as a legacy for my two adopted daughters, Grace and Mercy. And we wanted to offer them an environment where they could be safe, number one. I would have the authority to teach what I wanted them to be taught, and them not necessarily being exposed to a lot of the other aspects of going to maybe another school. I also wanted to be a part of their life and a part of their educational journey. And so we created the school. Now, a number of girls that have come and families that have gone, the blessing has been that they now have children, and their daughters have also come to me. And I think that's a high compliment, that they trust me with their daughters to impart and to sow into their lives, you know, what it means to stay pure, number one, what it means to have a Christian perspective on every aspect of your life, what it means to hold yourself and not be impressed or moved by peer pressure. So I think those are some great aspects of Grace Ashton. And that's the reason why we started it, to have a station for the girls.
That's great work. And you were in that school for several years. I also know that you recently said goodbye to the school and all. But let's talk about, you know, just what is, you know, some of the things that are prevailing right now in our society, right? But women and girls, you know, mostly having to sort of bury a lot of things that they're experiencing. There's so many things that people go through. I mean, they're hidden for so long and couldn't really find them. And so what would you say for young women and girls and just women in general, right, who are experiencing things but are ashamed, to this, right, to open up and to share some of these things that they are going through or things that they've observed. What are your thoughts about that?
I think, Alex, for me, and I give much thought to what can I do to try to help them have a better quality of life when I'm working with them and counseling with them. But I know for one thing that was helpful for me, and that was to begin to know who you are. A lot of times as we grow up, it could be family members, it could be friends, and we tend to always want to be like someone else. We often look at what's being portrayed on television or in the social media, and whether you're thin, whether you're heavy set, whether you're lighter, whether you're darker, whether you've got long hair, whether you have shorter. But my message is to love who you are, be who you are. Offer what you have to offer and be comfortable with yourself. I believe that once you learn to love who you are, then and only then you will stop allowing all types of behavior that, you know, things that happen to you in the school, maybe in the schools, maybe at home, and certainly in relationships. And that's where I work the most with women who are struggling out that this is the new trend that if a guy does hit you, then that means he loves you. And that means there is something wrong that's going on with the mindset, because that's not correct at all. Actually, he doesn't love you if he yells at you, if he corners you, if he's commanding, if he touches you, if he abuses you in any way. That is not acceptable. And that's what we are trying to teach our young girls now, that, you know, if they begin to look at those behaviors and accept them, then we need to deal with that. You know, God made them very, very special. Women have a special place in his heart, and they need to know who they are. And knowing who we truly are, that comes through knowing Christ Jesus. That doesn't come from any Joe Blow on the street. I think that parents play a very powerful role and covering and protecting their daughters, fathers standing up for their daughters, and fathers being the model by which their daughters will look for a male that's going to protect them, that's going
to... Okay, I'm not sure. I can't hear you, so I don't know if this is me or you or if it's... Sorry, there's some technical stuff going on in the studio. I did hear you
say
hello.
Do you hear me now?
Okay, yes, I hear you. Do you hear me?
Okay. Yes, ma'am, I do. It just keeps going in and out.
Okay, I'm so sorry about this. I'm not sure what's going on.
It's okay.
In the studio today. But there was something that you said and I picked before it sort of went out. And you said, and I thought this was very interesting, you said a lot of things, but you said something about fathers being a role model, right? Modeling
yes.
The kind of man that a woman would or a young girl would aspire, you know, would be, you know, just modeling the example of the type of man that she would want.
Absolutely.
In her future, right? And I think that that is so powerful and that is so true. Because I know, I think sometimes we think that, you know, the perception that we have about some of the experiences that women and girls have is that this is solely a woman's problem and it's solely a woman thing. And we don't realize that each of our experiences, however it still affects our societies, and they will affect our boys and our sons, because, you know, it will go. Fathers have a role to play in being the type of example, you know, modeling.
Absolutely.
What a young girl.
Absolutely.
Would want by how he treats, you know, the men in his life, the daughters, by him being present and how he takes care of the father. So I think that this really, you know, this is that was interesting. I definitely want that. And I thought that was a very powerful statement, actually. The other thing is, I wanted to know, you know, while about yourself now, for example, because the mess is here and we're going to talk. But I wanted to know, what would you say the biggest discovery you made through the whole process, joining, you know, your experience in writing this book, Hush, and why you called it Hush?
I call the book Hush because I think that a lot of professional women, pastor wives, executives, all of the women that we may come in contact with, a lot of times are really bleeding inside and leading at the same time. And I think what Hush did for me is to say, no, it's not okay just to be quiet. I have a right to speak up. I have a right to say and talk about the things that was done to me that I don't feel good about. I have a right to not allow anyone to trespass over my heart, over my feelings, over my body, over my life. And it doesn't really matter who they are. It could be our friends. It could be family members. It could be our children, our spouses. Nobody has the right to treat us less than who we are. And I think that's what Hush did for me. It freed me and allowed me to be able to speak up and speak about things I kept buried because I thought it would be unacceptable in the positions that I held.
Talk about how you thought, you know, there is your experience and you felt that it was unacceptable to speak up because of the position you had.
Yes, I thought that others would think lowly or differently from you know, from what they did. I actually remember one pastor saying to me, "Oh my God, Kim, not you. You should have said something to me. I thought you all had the perfect life." And I'm sitting there listening to her. There was no concern about me. There was only concern about what she thought was going on. And I think that's very, I think that's dangerous. I think sometimes we wonder why a lot of our young children and even adults, you know, sometimes they tend to want to take their own lives. They don't have anybody that they can talk to or they can go to, because they don't have anybody they think would understand, because everybody's looking from the outside and nobody's really looking and digging on the inside to see what's really going on. And sometimes it's beyond what you can see. Anybody can put a smile on their face. Anybody can dress it up. Anybody can pretend that all is well. It's when you get to know that person from the inside. And if you're close enough to them, you can look in a person's eye, you can look at their nonverbal expressions, and you can tell something is wrong. And it doesn't take a lot just to stop and say, you know, I want you to know I'm thinking about you. I want you to know I noticed that you're not the same right now. Can we talk? I'm available. If you need me, I'm here. It doesn't cost anything.
One of those days when it's hot but it rains at the same time. One of those days I pretend that I am but I'm not fine. It's one of those days I couldn't get up if I wanted to. It's all of this weight on me. It's one of those days I look in the mirror, I don't know myself. One of those days I just wanna disappear. It's one of those days when I wanna give up, give in to impossible. I tried to be the hero, but I ended up the fool. Is it okay if I fall apart? Okay if I don't bounce back? I'll be okay, I just need a minute to be by myself. Gonna lose it. It's one of those days I just wanna cry. It's one of those days I miss my mom, I miss my dad. I'm looking back on everything I ever had. Is it okay if I fall apart? To be by myself. Sometimes it feels better.
Was Is It Okay by Danielle Taylor. And Danielle Taylor was a guest on this show how many years ago? 18, I believe. I think it was season 2 or something. She was I love, 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 absolutely love her. And we've had some truly, truly amazing, powerful guests on this show. Is It Okay? Is It Okay? Hello, Dr. Kim. Can you hear me?
Hi. Hi. There? Powerful song. Powerful song.
Very powerful, right? Before I got kicked off a little bit, we were talking about just expression and how important it is that I believe in expression, both literally and figuratively. I think it's important. And, of course, journaling and speaking up, you know, changed my life. And I believe that it's important for us to, you know, share and to open up, to have that courage. I think that's with courage first, right? That courage, boldness, to be able to say, this is how I feel, this is what I'm going through. And yes, it's not okay. You know, it's okay to not be okay. You know, it's okay to, you know, to speak up. And I think that Danielle's song just sort of totally aligns with our show today. So I was, if there's one thing that you could change about way, you know, I know you've talked about a lot of things, but what you could change about the way young women these days carry themselves and some of the stories and the things that you hear, because I know you hear a lot of things, right? As a, you know, as a woman in your position, you know, if there was one thing you could change, what would that be?
I think for them, it would probably be the father and daughter's relationship, if that was something I could control or change. What I wanted to share with you very quick was we do have a, well, we did have a few good men, and we call it a fatherhood program within the school. It was one of the programs that we offered where fathers and daughters would come together on a monthly basis. And that was our way of helping fathers to understand a little bit more emotional atmosphere for their daughters. And then give them, we would do breakout sessions where they have to tell daddy what I couldn't tell him because I'm around other children. So, you know, fathers and daughters would be the thing I would change. I would constantly have ongoing workshops, seminars, try to mend those relationships and really try to inform fathers of the importance of leading in their kids' life, irregardless of what's going on with the parents. It's important that both come together.
So powerful. That's powerful. And I think that that is truly something that might make a difference, because I feel like if we look at some of the issues that, you know, young girls and young women experience, some of them have daddy issues, right? A lot of the time, there's something missing, right? There's something missing, and they're looking for something many times in the peak, you know, the partners at the peak, and you know, and just, you know, what happens around that. Now, I think I want to see Mercy. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Mercy. Okay, I want your take on this, because I know that our read your mom's book, and from what I hear. Where was there anything in the book you read just was shocking to you, or some, you know, was there anything in the book that you read, and how did you feel about the book? I think we should start from there. How did you feel about reading your mom's book?
First, when I first read it, it pretty much touched me, because yes, she may be my mother, but I didn't know all the pain that I saw in the book. Being in person, seeing her, yes, I saw certain things, but actually reading it made me come to tears, because you don't know what people are going through. You can walk around and see everybody every day, and you just never know. So Hush really brought me to tears in trying to understand certain situations. It also brought me to be able to express my pain than what I used to. I used to be very quiet, never used to say anything about things that I was going through, and then now I'm actually opening up because I've read it. And I tell everyone about the book, not just because she's my mother, but I feel like it will actually help women that are actually going through certain situations that they can't speak about, and it will actually help them that they can speak.
Thank you for sharing that, and I think that it must, you know, I think it must have been enlightening for you in many ways, right? Because, like you said, although she's your mom, we sometimes take these things granted, right? Because we see people who are very close to them, we don't really know what they're covering up, we don't know what they're dealing with, we don't know what they're feeling, we don't even know how the things that we do affect them, right? Until we're able to step into their own head, or see the world through their eyes, you're able to see some of the things that have just totally ignored or might have just gone past you. So let me ask you this, and I know that you said the book has helped you to, you know, to build a bit, to open up more. But within, I know that you have, you're much younger, she's your mom, and you have friends, you have, you know, you've had relationships, let me put it that way. What would you say is something that you've observed maybe around your friends or maybe, you know, with young women like you, just how, in terms of some of the things that they experience and how they deal with it. Is there something, some type of observation, something that you've noticed that you feel from now, from knowing the little that you know, just from reading your mom's book, is there something that you wish girls your age could change in terms of how they deal with the problems that they have?
Yes, I do have friends that are in different lifestyles, but I feel like if they read the book, that they will actually change and that they can speak on issues that they are going through. As I recently said, I used to go through a lot of issues, and as we all go through issues of life, when I read the book, it made me open up that I can speak on my pain. I used to be quiet, like I said, things I used to hear when I was younger. And it just made me open up that I don't have to be silent anymore. So I speak up now because you don't have to be afraid to just sit back and just be quiet. Now you can actually speak on it and people can actually understand your pain. Because if you just sit back, who can understand? Mm-hmm. Who knows if you're hurt? So you have to speak. And so, like I said, I tell everyone about the book because it really opened my eyes up. And me and my mom have a great relationship. We speak about the book all the time. We talk about it. It's enlightening. And when I read her book, it just really opened me up because I didn't see the damage that the pain she was in. And now that I see it, I can speak differently on it.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for, you know, sharing that. And it's not this is the first time we're having a mother daughter in the studio and talking about the dynamics of the relationship and just how her work you and impacting you and of course other people around her. So we're gonna take a quick break. This is Don't by Scott Krokoff, and while we wait for your mom to come back, we'll take this break and we'll be back soon.
Okay.
That can never close. But believe me, it's only motivating me, 'cause I'll never quit. Will I ever know?
was You and Me by Jack. And if you're just tuning in now, this is still Naked Talk. My name is Alex. We're coming to you live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of West Africa. Now, this is our season premiere. And of course, if you're joining us, don't forget, you can be part of the conversation. Now, we talked to and her daughter, right? And if you listen to the conversation, we're talking about finding your voice. And, you know, just some of the experience that we're having, you know, with women and young women, you know, and girls, of course, suppressing their pain and bearing all the experiences that they have. And I think you mentioned something about leading and leading, you know, how we continue to, you know, we cover up some of the things that we're experiencing and we try to show up. And so if you're just joining in, don't forget that the number to call 515-605-9804, 515-605-9804 to be part of the conversation. If you've got any questions, you can call in to ask Dr. Kim, you know, a question, one or two questions, or you can leave a comment in the chat room if you prefer. There's a live chat room open right now, and you can join the conversation right there, or you can tweet using hashtag the Make a Talk, and I think we need to follow the and of course, you have messages we've read on the show, or you can email us hello@thenakedtalk.live, and we'll catch that as well. Dr. Kim, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm sorry about that. We've been having some really technical stuff going on, and I know people don't know this because I haven't shared this, but we recently lost our producer, our technical producer, actually. It's been very difficult trying to get this to run, but as we say in theater, the show must go on, right? And so somehow
absolutely, just push through,
you know, irrespective of. So I miss Victor not being here, and Victor was a very big part of the Naked Talk and driving the Naked Talk show. But, you know, as we say, you know, we have to keep. So, Dr. Kim, let me ask you this. I know that you back out your book. Right? So on one part, we also talk about the context, content, and what has driven you around. What would you say has the most common feedback? You know, what is something you say you've been some of the people who have read your book, Hush?
I think the most common feedback has been they've been very shocked that I've experienced all that I've experienced and yet done all I've done in the community. They've also said how much such a book has opened them up, and now they can talk about it. I've got one lady down here that makes sure she passes the books to every neighbor, every female. She wants to start a little girls group. She wants to bring them over, and she wants us to go chapter by chapter because she feels this is something they need to know and understand. It could happen to you if you don't find yourself and stay focused on who you are. And not get out there before it's time. One thing, Alex, if you would allow me to share with you that I think is very powerful, and I was listening to Mercy, what blessed me, and I think this is the most powerful thing that came out of this whole season with the book writing and the pain and the reveal, is that Mercy sat in a counseling session with me. And she said, Mom, I inflicted a lot of this, and I see the damage I have done, and I'm going to be in here with you, although it may be things that I'm saying that I don't want to hear, but I'm going to stay in here until you become whole. Alex, how powerful is that for a daughter to say to her mother?
Amazing.
Wow. For me, that was profound. And I think that even if we would come together with our daughters and our children, our sons, and allow them to be real and allow them to be open, although it may not be comfortable, these are conversations that we need to have, because at the end of the day, I too don't want to leave her or any of my children in a position of being hurt and damaged by anything I could have done or by anything I didn't allow them to say to me while they could. I think that women walk around, we have layers and layers of pain from parents and grandparents and our job supervisors and even our friends and other relatives. And we don't ever get past it. We just keep going. And we're going to give out if we don't, you know, we'll be so depleted inside that we'll never get to the destiny that God has for us.
So this is so amazing because I'm listening today. You said something that, you know, not just, you know, I mean, sometimes even the things that, you know, you being in that state where they're going to allow them to say, or you're not open to listening, right? Or we're not open to listening. And the more we sit in conversation with our children, boys and girls, you know, our parents, the more everyone's in conversation. I think, you know, I'm very, I love engaging, right? I feel like it's important to dialogue. You know, I feel like it's important to communicate. I think the word is communication. I think it's important to communicate. I think that with more communication, there'll be understanding. Right. Yeah. I think with, you know, with more effective communication, then we open up the opportunity to hold space for each other. Right. And less, you know, a little less overload. People are stressed out because they're one to be open and to be real. And they're ashamed as well of some of the things they're carrying. And I think that what exactly does Dr. Kim cover in this book? I know that we can element some of the things that you talk about in this book for the sake of listeners. They might be saying, okay, what is it? What could she have shared in this book that make her, would give her daughter some type of, some kind of illumination? So what are the different things you talk about in this book? Hopefully she can join us. But anyway, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick message from our sponsor, our friend at Cat Lego Africa. And, you know, we're going to take a quick message for Dr. Kim. She's going to join. She's going to come right back in and share some of the very, you know, important things she talks about in the book. So just while we do this quick message. Our show today is brought to you by our valued sponsor, Cat Lego Africa. Cat Lego Africa is your gateway to a world of enchanting African wall art. Whether it's stretched canvas or framed wall art, they have an extensive collection to cater to your diverse tastes and preferences. One remarkable aspect of Cat Lego Africa is their unwavering commitment to uplifting emerging African artists. The whole concept is to provide a platform for these talented individuals to showcase their exceptional work to a global audience. And here's some fantastic news for our loyal listeners. You can unlock an exclusive 15% discount on your purchase by using our special coupon code AlexOkoroji. I'll mention that again. Make sure to use the special coupon code AlexOkoroji. But wait. There's even more to share. Check out the show notes for a referral link, which automatically applies the discount for you and also allows you to spread the love for African art with your friends and family. Now, with a diverse range of wall art options, you undoubtedly find the perfect addition to your home, workspace, or office decor, adding a touch of African beauty and culture. Now, one more thing to note. Just so you are aware, these are not the original art pieces. They are the reprints sold in collaboration with the artist. So for every piece sold, the artist gets royalty. Now don't miss this opportunity. Visit Cat Lego Africa's online store today at www.catlegoafrica.com and bring the vibrant world of African art into your life. Cat Lego Africa. Where art meets culture and culture transforms spaces. Thank you for supporting our sponsor and being a part of our artistic community. So, Dr. Kim, Dr. Kim is back in the studio. Dr. Kim, welcome back. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, great. So you were sharing, I think you were sharing something right before you, I think I asked you about some different elements in the book, right? Some of the topics, some of the things that you cover in the book. Because I know that if I was listening, I would be curious, like, okay, you seem to be some of these covered in your book, the experiences, if you can just share a little bit of, you know, one or two things that you talk about that obviously enlightened and opened your, you know, your daughter's eyes, and of course, you know, the minds of many of the people who read the book so far.
I think that two of the most important things would probably be when she found out how abused I have been in previous relationships, from the first marriage, my relationship right after that marriage, and the abuse I suffered, under her hand, and some of the things that we were going through, it devastated her. She did not know that type of damage had been done. And the way we found out is one of our psychologists, one of my friends shared that, you know, Kim, you have been traumatized by your own children, the things that they've done and said to you, and the things you've allowed for the sake of love, for the sake of being a mother. You allowed certain things, and that's unacceptable. You don't have to accept that. And I had to cut my children off, literally cut them off and block them on social media platforms, for them to get the message, I don't have to be treated like this and accept it. And I think if I could do it with my children, it opened my eyes, I could do it with anyone. I can protect Kim much better than I had protecting Kim, because I've been busy protecting everybody else. And I think that's the message that she got, and it gave her the strength to stand up for herself.
Things that you said right now about standing up for yourself and protecting yourself, even if you have to protect yourself, you love the most. And I think that as women, and especially when it comes to like parenting, for example, we give all of ourselves and everything, right? And we're the list, ourselves the list. You think of everybody else but ourselves. And you're saying that we have to somehow be the example, right? By first of all speaking up, standing for ourselves, and by that we teach our young ones to also learn to speak up as well and stand up for themselves. And I think that is such an important message to take away. And there's a lot more other stuff, you know, in the book. You know, you shed a little bit of balance and some of the other things, and that I think that, you know, are new. And I think it's amazing that you're elite, you know, so again, many women, and I think I speak to, you know, I think what's very important about this is that sometimes you see some things that remind you from the experience as well. And many times these things don't just happen to you when you're, they happen to you even when you're off the game, right? Even when you're a leader, like you mentioned, or you're a public figure, or you're out there, these things still happen, and we still suppress them. So you're showing us that, you know, we shouldn't be harsh in. We should actually speak up. Let's talk about the writing process. I know you said you and all. Do you have any special, I mean, as an author, and I think that, you know, for a lot of us have, so many people have stories, right? And when we say stories, we talk about experience, of us, wisdom that we've gained from the experiences, the things that we through, or the things that we've observed. What would your advice be to someone who has all of that experience, or who has a story to tell, or who has something inside that is pushing, that is driving, that would be your advice to them? Are you there, Dr. Kim? Do you hear me?
You hear me now?
Yes, I hear you. Do you hear my question?
Yeah. Yes, I hear you now. It keeps going in and out. But I was just sharing with you that we are looking to do a documentary on 12 women who may be uncomfortable with sharing their stories, but we can all share them collectively, and that would give them even the more strength. That's number one. In terms of the wisdom piece of it, I've learned for myself that the best thing I can do for myself is to just be truthful, be honest with me, because we can hide from everybody else, but we cannot hide from ourselves. That's the wisdom that I gained from having written the book. And so I think that would be the most important thing to share with anyone. The truth shall set you free. And it truly has set me free, started me on a new road with my daughter and the relationship we have now. We talk about everything, past, present, and future.
That's amazing. I think that's been a really good outcome, and I love that. You know, you talked about the documentary, and I'm curious. I heard the documentary, and the creative and curious. I'm like, oh my God, what's this going to be about? I'm excited to hear that. But most importantly, I'm excited the dynamics of the relationship have improved because you were bold and courageous enough to really share and be open. And I think that that's something that we really all can learn. You know, I think we need to get comfortable with really being able to open up, not just open up even to our children. You know, so our children are witness. You know, I've learned this as well, even as a mother. I think it's okay for my son to know that I'm in pain. Right, I'm learning that, you know what, I'm hurt, you know, to observe and to witness that. Of course, we need to be strong, but we also need to be real. And I think that it's great that, you know, she needs to see this and things have changed. So I know we have some time left on the show, and it's been an amazing evening talking to you despite some of the little technical issues that we've had here in the studio. Again, let's not forget, I'm coming to you live the way from Nigeria, while the station is in New York and you're in Savannah. So this is like a three-way connection. But I'm excited, you know, have the opportunity to talk a little bit. So let's talk about what's next for you. You know, what are you working on right now? I know that you mentioned something about a documentary, but I know that there are other things that you're working on. So what is Dr. Kim working on right now? What can we expect from you, you know, regarding a lot of the things to do and develop in the community and all?
Well, I know right now we have two programs that we're working on primarily for women. No Excuse for Abuse is a teen program. It's a platform that we're trying to give teens a voice. And then we have Emerge Empowerment Program, where if there are women that need to return to school, you know, I'm going to stick with that education piece, and they are interested in going back, even if it's for a high school diploma or it's for post-secondary planning, we are open to helping them to get that done. Also, we're having our first conference November the 18th, and it's called Scream, because there are many women that just want to do just that. They want to scream. They want to exhale, and they want to release. And so that's the name of that conference. And so we're excited about doing that. And I think that Mercy and I are looking to do a couple of other personal ventures, businesses and things like that. But my focus right now is on my family and making sure I'm sowing into them, making sure they're whole in all areas of their life, pouring into them as much as I can to help them be whole and to build them up and to help them get to the destinies that they have in mind and in life for themselves.
Wow, that's been invested in, you know, supporting families, and you really do love pouring into your family. So I'm surprised that you will be obviously dedicating some time to that. But I'm excited to hear about your program for boys, the program for, you know, teens for boys. I think that boys as well need support and need encouragement and need a lot that, you know, I think that sometimes when we also need to build the boys as well. Girls.
And yes,
I think that's very important.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Forgive me, Alex, that I had forgotten about it. Would you forgive me? We are developing a male program called Young Kings Academy. But now I don't mind helping with that project, and I'll probably be on that board and certainly do, develop the curriculum. But that's a male program that's going to be inclusive of mentoring during the school days. We're going to have 100 black men involved, and hopefully some of the other fraternities and local other male programs to help facilitate that. So that won't just be something I'll be involved in.
Well, I think that's amazing and powerful. You know, I think that our young kings definitely need the support, and we need, you know, more of those community programs for boys, just as we develop girls. Because if we develop girls and we neglect our boys, then we're just going to have the men. So I think it's important to, you know, take care of your boys and our girls as well. So well done on everything that you did. And so I know we don't have much time left. If people want to find, people want to get a copy of Hush, they go to find out more about the book and more about you and the work that you're doing.
I think that, what was the question, Alex?
So I would say that, where can people go find out about Hush? Can they go to get a copy of Hush to buy the book?
Yes.
We've been talking about the book. Where can they get the book? Mm-hmm.
The book can be, they can go to our website, which is www.hushthebook.com, if they want a signature copy and a special gift. Or they can go to Amazon. And the book is also in other bookstores locally, and I think globally as well, I understand, Alex. And they can always go to our website, leave a review, or they can blog with us that way.
Well, yes, if you want to get a copy of Hush, you can go to hushthebook.com, www. Just type in hushthebook.com, and you can, you know, get yourself an autographed copy, and you can get a special gift from Dr. Kim. Or you can click any of the buttons to get, you know, from Amazon or any of the other bookstores. You can get them in e-version, or you can get a print version of the book. It's available in different forms. I'm very excited about Hush because Dr. Kim was quite revealing. She was, you know, quite open about, you know, her experiences, her thoughts, and some of the things. Also, with directions on how you can change, you can transform yourself. So this is not just a book about experiences, but it's a book with directions on how you can find higher purpose in God and get yourself really out of, you know, the depths of the waters that you're, you know, swimming in right now. So thank you so much, Dr. Kim. It's been a pleasure
having
you here on the show. Message, before we wrap this up, any final words before we close this out? Do you have any final words for the listeners? Mercy?
I just say that everyone tries to get the Hush book. It's amazing. You will actually learn something from it. And I give a shout out to my mother for doing an awesome job with the book. And we thank you so much for having us on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Mercy. Final words, Kim, just before we say goodbye to you, our final words?
The only thing I'd like to say, Alex, number one, is I ditto Mercy. We thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you. And I say to all of my sisters across the world that I love you, and we are learning to love ourselves just as strong as we love others.
Thank you so much. We love you too. And we appreciate you taking the time to spend with us and to share a little bit about your experiences, the work you're doing, and you know, just impact that you're creating. And like I said, I know people can just go to hushthebook.com, learn more about the book, your work, and you know, everything else, and find ways to connect with Dr. Kim Grant Olvright. So for my day, it's been a wonderful time talking, and we'll be back next Wednesday with another guest on the show. Don't forget, we're back. This is the new season, and you know, we're gonna keep moving this. So until same time next week on Talk Wednesday. Ciao. And this is Fear of Landing by Peter Kelly. Peter Kelly was a guest of the show. I think season 3 or season 2. I'm not sure. But was a guest on the show, and you know, we've had some amazing guests. So this is Fear of Landing by Peter Kelly. Ciao. Bye.
your eyes. Red Hay says your night was better than mine. Just a little change might do you well. But you won't buy what I try to sell. So who do your thing, do your thing. And who I'm helpless, 'cause when you go up, you don't wanna let the view's much better from up there. It's the fear of landing you can't fight. I can't understand your broken way beyond the stairs. It's the hard time in those shoes. The black soul's leaving footprints from hell right behind you. You gotta drown it out again. Well, you're right back in the devil's den. So who do your thing, do your thing. Crazy in your eyes.